And that concludes our content for today. Now, let's review the core content of the book. In the first part, we talked about the unwritten rules of Wall Street's workplace. Through his own career experience, the author has satirized the hypocritical, chaotic, bullying, and full of lies business culture of Wall Street in a ridiculous tone. In the second part, we discussed how Wall Street was a dramatic stage. It had two sides. On Wall Street, people may become rich and renowned in a short period. However, it was also possible that a much-anticipated company could go bankrupt in an instant. In the third part, we talked about how Wall Street was a playground full of lies. Through real cases, the author told us that Wall Street lies not only existed widely between investment banks and investors, but also existed among colleagues who worked in investment banks. Investment banks maliciously covered up the truth to investors through information asymmetry. Besides, blinded by greed, investors only focused on benefits and ignored risks, so they didn't recognize the lies of investment banks and fooled themselves. In early 1988, the author left the Salomon Brothers. By this time, his annual salary was already $225,000. He could easily manipulate hundreds of millions of dollars in investments in the market and owned a lot of stocks. However, he was facing an uncertain future after leaving the company. You may be wondering why the author left when this was clearly the shortest path to becoming a millionaire, a chance that many people would never get. Most people, including the generation of the author's father, probably grew up believing in money. People tended to think that the amount of money a person earns is a measure of how much the person contributes to the well-being and prosperity of our society. Wealthy people were often referred to as successful people. The society treated their words as the Bible and listened religiously every day. The author used to agree to this idea. However, when he found out that geniuses could make so much money by just making a few phone calls, and the people around him who were indistinguishable from ordinary people were all making an absurd amount of money disproportionate to the social value they've contributed, he began to doubt this belief in money. You might say that the behavior of these money scroungers is full of lies. Still, we're afraid we'll have to break your illusions again. It is tempting to believe that people who think this way eventually suffer their comeuppance. They don't. They just get richer. I'm sure most of them die fat and happy. So why do we still resist this belief in money? The author himself was a little confused, but he still believed that maybe this decision is not as stupid as it seems. We're afraid we'll have to leave this question to you in the end. We only hope that when our children write articles in the future, one or two will write, "When I grow up, I will have been an investment banker. I will have become a millionaire. I will have owned a big house. However, I am not happy."